I'm reading from John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. This is Pastor Gordon Connor. I want to invite you to stay with us. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit on Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring.
Glory in the highest I will shout.
Welcome to another broadcast of Standing on the Promises. Lesson today is going to be a bit of a topical lesson. We'll be looking at a lot of scriptures from a lot of different places, but if you're able to follow along as best you can, I trust it'll be an encouragement to you. We're going to begin today with a wonderful song, For Me to Live is Christ.
There often are distractions from devotion to my Lord. I'm tempted with the things of earth and pleasures of this world. Lord, may there be but this one thing in my life I pursue, to know thee more, to love thee more, and be consumed with you. For me to live is Christ and nothing more. Whom I adore. Lord, help me be consumed with thee, so that for me to live is Christ. In my life there trials and testings that he will ordain, but selfishly I ask him for relief from all my pain. May I be so consumed with him that even when I'm tried, my only prayer when suffering is Christ be magnified.
When someday God calls me home through death's dark fearful door, to enter to eternity with Christ forevermore.
If on this earth my only goal in goodness and in pain, for me to live was Christ alone, then death would be my gain. For me to live is Christ and nothing more. For me to live is Christ whom I adore. Lord, help me be consumed with Thee, so that for me to live is Christ. Lord, help me be consumed with Thee, so that for me to live is Christ.
One of the aspects of the God of the Bible that sets him so far above and apart from everything else is the uniqueness of the Trinity, the triune God. He is one God, yet he is clearly three divine persons. It's sometimes hard for us to grasp how this all works, but it is plainly taught throughout the Scripture, beginning back in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Later on in chapter 1, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. We see the Holy Spirit of God at work there at creation. We know also from the Scriptures that we've looked at actually on this radio broadcast talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word, that nothing was created without him. And then we think of the Great Commission, Matthew 28. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name singular of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. And then John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one." I'd like to focus today not on the whole of the Trinity, but on the ministry and work of God the Holy Spirit, His work in the world, but most importantly, His work in you and me as believers. Remember, the Holy Spirit is also God, and He is God with us. Now, one of the important lessons given to the disciples by the Lord Jesus near the end of His earthly ministry was the fact that He was going to go away. But He would send them God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, as He is called. And we have several verses from the Gospel of John, some of which I read at the very beginning of the program today. I'm going to begin in verse 26 of John 14. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 15, verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." And then John chapter 16, quite a lengthy text. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So, we find God the Holy Spirit now in the world, and he is working in the world in primarily two different ways. One of which, he is serving as the restrainer. Now, that means to restrain means to hold back and to, you know, block progress. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, really talking about the end times, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. This English term we find in that last verse there, letteth, is an older word, but the Greek word underneath it means to hold back, to restrain, to hinder the course or the progress of something. The only one that is able to withstand and to hinder the man of sin and his power behind him, the devil, is God the Holy Spirit. So when you get discouraged with the wickedness in this world, just think what it's going to be like during the tribulation when the Holy Spirit will no longer be doing his restraining work. The second main ministry that the Holy Spirit does now in the world is the work of conviction. And we read a moment ago in John 16, and when he has come, he will reprove, and that word means to convict, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This is the work of how the Word of God is planted in the heart of a person. They recognize their sin and need to repent. Remember the Lord's words to Saul of Tarsus, lying there in the dust on the road to Damascus. He said, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And that what that prick is a sharp stick like an ox goad. And it was the Holy Spirit at work poking at Saul of Tarsus, and he understood his sin. So the Holy Spirit is holding back the devil from doing all that he would like to do, and he is doing the work of conviction, reaching out and convicting people of their sin through the power of the Word of God. So, as it is with all great works of God, the triune God works in complete unity. And we find this also now when we think of the Holy Spirit in salvation. For example, God the Father saves us on the basis of the sacrifice of God the Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. And we are then born again by God the Holy Spirit. You see, when a person responds in repentance and faith to the convicting work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, they are then regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, in speaking with Nicodemus that night, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, or unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And this really talks about the miracle of the borning again process of God. When we receive that new nature, the new man, made a new creature in Jesus Christ. Not only are we born again by the Spirit of God, but he comes to live within us. Our bodies are set apart and sanctified and become the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Chapter number 6, 1 Corinthians, What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, folks, it is important to remember that the Holy Spirit is not a force, but a person. When we are saved and made God's child through faith, God Himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell in us. There is no second work of grace, no need for something more. We have all of this holy and wondrous person we will ever get. Romans 8 tells us, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." So the Bible makes it pretty plain. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're not saved. And that makes it pretty plain. Now just think on this for a moment with me. God lives in me. Do you really understand this? I'm afraid that many of God's people lose sight of that reality. We exist much like those disciples found by Paul and his first visit to Ephesus. You know, and they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard as whether there be any Holy Spirit." And this is sad, because God is living in you and me for a purpose. There is much that He desires to do in and through us, if we would simply, consciously, daily yield ourselves to Him. So let's talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit in me. I mean, what is the work of the Holy Spirit in the child of God? What exactly are His benefits toward us? Now, I don't want to make this an overly extensive study, but rather, I guess, more of a refresher course. We've talked about His regeneration work in us, placing within us the new nature born of God and His indwelling coming to live in me. But there is more, so much more. And these are important truths for every child of God to know. And I know that I've taught them over the years. I know in our own church, and I've taught them, of course, on the radio as well. But these are important things we must understand. So we don't miss them, let's review them. What is it that God the Holy Spirit has done? Well, first of all, He has sealed us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 we'll come back to later on in this message. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." You know, my Bible tells me that like an envelope is sealed and mailed, I have been sealed by God until I reach heaven. And it's a seal that cannot be broken because it is God Himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ," or "with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." What a great blessing. You know, the triune God again is at work there. And I'm really happy for Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, because try as I might, I cannot hang on to my salvation on my own. Sin has a way of showing up in my life and coming between me and my God. I need Him to continue His good work in me. So the Spirit of God has sealed you if you're saved. Not only that, He's been given as an earnest. Now, we read 2 Corinthians just a moment ago. It says, "Who has sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Ephesians 1 talks about this as well. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth," the gospel of your salvation. "In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." We don't use the word earnest a great deal today, but it simply means a down payment, a pledge, a security deposit. Now, what possibly could God the Holy Spirit be a down payment on for us? Well, Ephesians says, our inheritance. You see, He is the down payment on our heaven. In a sense, He is our guarantee of the final blessing of being in God's presence forever. So, dear friend, this is what He has done. He has sealed us, and He's been given to us as God's pledge of eternity with Him. But what are some things that God the Holy Spirit will do? Well, the first thing is this. He will convict. He will convict. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, we understand that in the world, but God the Holy Spirit also convicts me as a child of God when I sin. Maybe I could ask you today, how many of you still have a problem with sin? You know, the problem is that I do sin, but I try to ignore my sin, or I'm so used to it, it doesn't really bother me like it should. We know the work of the Holy Spirit in conviction in the world, but He also continues to bring conviction to us as His children. Was that not the prayer of David? In Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I've often tried to help believers understand the difference between conviction and guilt. Guilt, to me, in my thinking, is a tool of the devil. Conviction is a work of the Holy Spirit. Guilt is usually broad in general. Oh, I didn't pray enough. I'm not as separated enough. I'm not as bold in witnessing. I didn't read my Bible enough. Conviction is more like a surgeon's scalpel. What you just said is not true. You need to go and make that right. Stop thinking like that. You need to bring your thoughts into captivity. Hey, you offended that person. You need to go ask their forgiveness. And He often uses the Word of God as His tool to convict us. That's what Hebrews talks about in 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick, and that word means alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He will convict, and He will illuminate. Here's a wonderful text. It's long, but let me just share it with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's the unsaved individual, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What a great text. You know, when you read your Bible and it seems that God is speaking to you directly, He is. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit illuminating, shining spiritual light on God's Word and bringing its life to our spirit. Can you think of some lessons that were brought home to you this past week? I'll tell you, it's a great blessing when we get to know that God is trying to get my attention during Bible reading. And, you know, as He does, then to ponder it, to meditate upon it, to write down what He is saying, maybe take notes. You know, it helps me to know that God is alive and interested in me. He does illuminate. Not only that, the Holy Spirit will empower. In 1 Corinthians, also chapter 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." It is God the Holy Spirit who gives us of His power to do the will and work of God in this world. Not only that, but He intercedes for us. You know, I'll tell you, it's a great blessing to know that God is willing to pray for us. Romans chapter 8 talks about that, "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Sometimes our prayer lives are so inadequate, but God steps in and He will fill us. Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." This is not some ecstatic experience, but it is a surrender to the Holy Spirit's control over my words and actions and decisions. Spirit filling is God's will for every child, and it's available to those who will, you know, connect to God, confess, call upon Him, and keep walking with Him. Now think with me. All these things we have as God's children. You know, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live within me. He dwells in me right now. He has sealed me and secured me for eternity. And He stands ready to do so much in me. God loves me, so He convicts me that I might stay close to Him. He illuminates the Word of God, not just to my head, but to my heart. He empowers me so that I can live victoriously and accomplish His will. And He intercedes. He takes my feeble prayers and translates them for heaven's courts. And then He fills, ready to take control, lead me, direct my steps through this life. This is the way, walk ye in it. Think of all those wonderful things. This is the ministry of God in your life. But I want to close with one verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. The Apostle Paul said, "Quench not the Spirit." You see, all those things, the work that's done can never be reversed. But the things that God wants to do can be put out when we reject and we've refused to do the will of God. Dear friend, I would urge you to be careful about your life. Let God the Holy Spirit come in and fill you and use you as a mighty messenger for Him. We thank God for His Holy Spirit.
Standing on the Promises comes to you as a ministry of Greater Vancouver Baptist Church. Our services begin on Sunday mornings at 9:45 with Sunday School, followed by our main worship service at 11. We close out the Lord's Day with an evening service at 6:30. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would like to extend an invitation to you, our listeners, to join us for any of these services. If you would like more information about our church and its ministries, why not visit our website at gvbc.ca. You can find directions to our church, a bit of our history, details on our ministries, and even past programs of Standing on the Promises. That web address again is gvbc.ca. If you would like to write to us, our address is 4440 Victoria Drive, Vancouver, British Columbia, V5N4N6.
This is Pastor Gordon Connor. If I can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please be sure to get in touch. May the Lord bless you, and thanks for listening.